was 89 and died peacefully in his sleep. BBC News.
The writers Julian Barnes and Hermione Lee will continue their exploration of the connections between Ford Madox Ford and France in half an hour. That's after BBC Radio 4 opens the infernal portal to the underworld.
Old Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring Annette Crosby as Edith, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
What is wrong with this dog?
Well, I think Scamp senses he's about to leave this awful place. Dogs are very bright.
No, they're not. You're talking about a species that has yet to work out that its tail is part of its body.
Sire!
Dogs are not stupid.
Sire!
All animals are stupid. And I tell you, it's lucky for you lot that they are, because physically it'd be no contest. You know, I mean, imagine if a horse suddenly thought, wait a second, this jockey is tiny. Or if a Spanish bull thought, sod that red cape, I'm aiming for the ponce in the spangly jacket. I tell you, you lot would soon be toast, yeah. Mind you, that is sort of how you end up anyway, but...
I'm telling you, that dog senses something, don't you, Scamp? Mm. Hey, you're going up to heaven where you should have been sent in the first place, aren't you? Hey.
Sire!
When are you arranging that? Oh. And when are you getting this poor baby returned to the land of the living?
Look, in time. I've only got one pair of claws, you know.
Sire!
What is it, Scumspawn?
Can you just check you've got the list, Mike?
Yes, I've got the list, see?
No, that's the list of baby Patrick's likes and dislikes.
Oh,
I meant the list of his possible adoptive parents.
Honestly, all this palaver just to find parents for one baby. I mean, can't I just dump him on Angelina Jolie? His doorstep, ring the bell and run away.
This baby deserves the best, sire. He's had such a difficult first few months.
Yeah, I suppose being born, then perishing in a car crash and then being wrongly sent to hell is a bit of a sticky start, yeah.
Still, you're going to put that right now, my prince, aren't you? You're going to return him to the land of the living, aren't you?
Yeah.
How exactly are you going to do that? Are you going to cast a magic spell or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All I have to do is click my hooves together three times and whistle. Yeah. Jeez, do you seriously think hell would be this overcrowded if I had the power to make the dead live again? I'd be chucking them back as fast as they arrived. Yeah. Especially the Americans, they take up so much space. But no, of course I can't do that. No, only the Almighty can restore life to the dead.
And how does he do it?
He has this button.
A button?
Yeah. It's green. He doesn't push it very often. And he won't push it for us because he has expressly commanded that baby Patrick here must go direct to heaven now. So, by returning this baby to the world of the mortals, I will actually be going against the wishes of the Almighty, which can be a very bad career move. I mean, not as bad as managing Newcastle, but...
But you're striking a blow for justice, my prince. You're ensuring that baby Patrick gets to live the life he's been cheated out of. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that happened. As soon as all this is over, I'm going back to making mischief, I tell you. Here, do you know I'm halfway to convincing Noel Edmonds he's an alien deity? Yeah. Oh, I am. See, I wait till he's asleep, then I draw these strange patterns on his hands. Yeah.
So how are you going to arrange for God's green button to get pushed?
Oh, the Master will have an evil plan. The Master always has an evil plan. Don't you, Master?
And what is your evil plan?
Oh, I never tell anyone the details of evil plans in advance. I've seen the Bond movies. But it will make an exciting last chapter for that biography you're writing of me. How are you getting on with that, Edith?
Oh, I'm not happy with it. I mean, I've all but finished it, but I'd like someone to take an objective look at it. Someone I respect.
Well, I could look at it.
Weren't you listening?
You have put that list somewhere safe,
oh,
haven't you?
Yes.
Have you got the list that lists all the lists?
Yes. Guys, it's like being married. Only without the silences.
Ideally, I'd like to show what I've written to Bernard Hollins.
Bernard who?
He was a don at Cambridge in the 1950s.
Oh, right. Was he promiscuous, gay and spying for the Russians?
No.
Oh, well, he must have felt left out then. Probably wondered why he never got invited to any parties, you know.
He was a historian, my professor.
Right.
He was my mentor.
Mentor, right.
Yes, a mentor is someone...
I know what a mentor is. I'm Simon Cowles.
Would you like me to see if I can find this Bernard chap for you, Edith?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, I admired him so. I think that was partly down to the fact that he reminded me so very much of my father, in his appearance and his general bearing, so like Daddy. Something around the eyes.
Well, if this Bernard of yours is in hell, he'll be in the pit of historians.
What happens in the pit of historians?
You don't want to know. Let's just say the air is thick with the smell of scorched corduroy. Well, I'll be on my way.
And you will adopt a nice, respectable human guise when you're checking out prospective parents for baby Patrick, won't you, sir? Oh. You won't be Russell Brand again.
That was just for a laugh, Scumspawn. It's not my fault Jonathan Ross is so easily led, is it? Won't be long. And when I come back, I'll sort out that dog's transfer to heaven.
You're very quiet, Thomas.
Yes, well, experience has taught me to stay quiet while Satan is around. If I don't draw attention to myself, then he won't subject me to cruel and unusual punishments.
Oh, yes. Like the circumcision performed by that whirling dervish. That was really...
Yes. I don't need reminding what that was like, Scumspawn. Thank you.
Sorry. So, you must be feeling a bit sad about Scamp leaving.
No. Good riddance.
You don't mean that. Scamp has been your special friend.
Friends don't desert you. I'm sick of it. It's happened to me so many times now. One minute, someone's your friend. The next, they're testifying against you in return for a lighter sentence.
Why don't we take Scamp for one last walk, eh? He'll cheer you up.
Oh, what are you, my mum?
Edith, I'm taking Scamp, the baby and Thomas for a walk. So I'll swing by the pit of historians and send Bernard Hollins over to you.
Oh, thank you, Scumspawn.
I told you, I'm not going for any walk. Scumspawn, I'm not... Put me down. Scumspawn!
Well, Scamp, it looks like Uncle Scumspawn is just going to have to carry Mr. Crosspatch over his shoulder.
Put me down.
No, we're going for a stroll down by the Lake of Fire and the Valley of Infinite Pain. It'll cheer you up.
This is humiliating.
Well, it isn't really, is it? I mean, not by your standards. It's not as humiliating as that time Satan turned you to porcelain, scooped out the top of your head, and told the demons you were a new toilet.
No, all right, I'll give you that one, but...
And it's not as humiliating as that time he shaved off all your pubic hair, stuck it on your chin, and then made you do David Bellamy impressions.
No, granted, that was bad as well.
Right, remember you're in human form, so try not to shoot any flames out of your mouth. Mr. Simpkins?
Yes?
I'm a solicitor. I'm Mr. Bulstrode, from Bulstrode, and third name. And I am representing various interested parties who are looking to have a young baby adopted. Now, obviously, we are looking for the best possible parents, and you are top of our list, so...
Oh, right. Well, come in, please. Mrs. Simpkins, we have a visitor. May I say what a pleasure it is to see someone wearing a tie?
Thank you.
You can tell a lot about a man by his necktie or absence thereof. Need I say more?
Probably best if you don't, on balance.
Ah, here is the lady of the house. This is Mr. Bulstrode, my sweet. He's a solicitor.
I certainly am. See, I'm carrying a folder.
He's here concerning the mooted adoption of a child. So, shall we adjourn to the lounge?
Oh, what a lovely colour scheme. You can't beat oatmeal and beige, can you? Now then, Mr. and Mrs. Simpkins, exactly how many children do you have?
7, as you can see.
They're very quiet, aren't they?
That's because this is their silent hour.
Silent hour?
Yes. We find it calms them down ahead of bedtime at 7.
7? Right. Well, don't you ever let them stay up to watch television?
We don't have a television.
Television is an invention of the devil.
Yeah, but he regrets it now, I tell you. Because, you see, he invented it to sow mischief in the world of man, but it's got out of hand. So now hell is being inundated with imbeciles who take a bend too fast because they think they're Jeremy Clarkson. And television is causing this avalanche of hopeless, delusional wannabes, and Satan has had it up to here. or so I've heard.
Are you all right, Mr. Bulstrode?
Yes, I'm fine.
Only I thought I saw a bit of flame come out of your mouth.
Reflux.
Would you like a Rennie?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Now, getting back to your philosophy of parenthood.
It's perfectly simple. Children need boundaries, Mr. Bulstrode. A lot of parents don't know where their children are of an evening, but we do.
Yes. In the lounge, behind the fence.
That's right. You see all these feral kids out on the street and you think, what are the parents doing? Don't they have access to any razor wire?
Right, well, OK.
So, this baby that needs adopting...
Yeah, do you know what? I think I'll get back to you on that one. One thing intrigues me, though. My friend, Mr. Scumspawn, gave me your name on a list because he'd heard about you winning this competition that...
Oh, yes, indeedy. Parents of the Year 2006, 2007 and 2008.
Right, and this competition was...
Organised by the Daily Mail.
Of course it was.
Well, Bernard, what do you think of it? There's a lot wrong with it.
It's an excellent piece of work, as always, Edith. You were easily the best student I ever taught. Talented, insightful and meticulous. Though, as I recall, prone to sudden bursts of self-doubt.
Well, I was always in such awe of you, Bernard. Your book on the causes of the First World War?
It was a joke.
Nonsense. That book was a masterpiece.
No, I meant the cause of the First World War was a joke.
A joke?
Yes, on my arrival here in this realm of sorrow, the first thing Satan did was to take me to meet Kaiser Wilhelm, a pathetic, strutting individual with a badly withered arm, which he was a touch sensitive about, which is why Satan has condemned him to play eternal basketball against the Harlem Globetrotters.
So, did you get to talk to the Kaiser?
Yes. He explained how in the early 1900s he had holidayed on the Isle of Wight with his two royal cousins, the King of England and the Tsar of Russia. And for dinner, the Kaiser had asked him if he should wear his ceremonial uniform, and King George replied, "I can't see the arm in it." And then he and the Tsar burst into fits of giggles, and at that moment, the Kaiser told me he made a mental note to wage war on them as soon as possible.
Oh, my God.
Yes, millions of men died for a pun. And I wrote 2,742 pages saying it was the demands of industrialized economies.
You're still the historian I admire above all others.
Thank you, Edith.
So, my biography of Satan, what do you think?
Well, as I said, Edith, it's first class.
Yes, but what do you really think?
Oh, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, please call me Julian. Come in out of the rain.
Thank you.
As you just fling your coat down there, we don't stand on ceremony here. Now, how can we help?
Well, I'm a solicitor. Check out the folder. My name is Mr. Sidcup from Sidcup and whatever. And I'm here concerning the possible adoption of a baby.
Oh, right. Athena Company. Let's go through, shall we? Sorry about the chaos. Darling, this is Mr. Sidcup.
Hello there.
Hello, yeah. You've certainly got a lot of children.
Oh, yes, we love children, don't we, darling? Yeah, they're all called Persephone, do you remember the discussion we had about electric sockets and toasting forks? You see, we don't believe in telling them not to do things. We believe in explaining the reason behind things and letting them work things out for themselves.
Right.
You see, our philosophy is...
Shouldn't we...
No, don't worry. She'll come round eventually. We don't believe in medical interventions.
Nature knows best. So the children have no antibiotics, no vaccinations, no synthetic clothing.
Right, no clothing. in actual fact.
Nakedness is a natural state for a child.
Right, what, even when they're 6'2"?
Apollo loves being naked. It's all he's ever known.
They wear clothes when they go out, obviously.
Oh, okay.
That's right, the police said they had to.
So, is this all your kids then?
No, some of the younger ones are playing out.
Yeah, when I was young, I played out in the street, and I don't see why my children should miss out on the richness of that experience just because we live next to the dual carriageway.
How many children do you have?
12.
It used to be 19. So, tell us more about this.
Ah, nothing like the smell of brimstone and charred humans to clear out the old nasal passages, is there, eh? Would you like a turn pushing the baby in the pram?
Do I look like an au pair?
I built the pram myself. It's made from human bones.
Yes, I noticed that.
You find quite a lot of human bones lying around in hell. When the demons rip people apart, they often don't know how to reassemble them. They're invariably left with a spare joint and no idea where it goes. Sort of hell's equivalent of a trip to IKEA.
Is this your idea of cheering me up?
It's not working, is it? Funny start in life for a baby, really. Being pushed around hell by a demon in a pram made from human bones. Do you think little baby Patrick will remember me?
Yes. Just a split second before he wakes up screaming.
Well, Scamp will remember us, won't you, Scamp, eh? And he'll definitely remember you, Thomas. All those walks you took him for, all those tricks you taught him, the begging, the playing dead, the going into attack mode whenever someone says the words employment rights. Oh, Tap Boy! See, he hasn't forgotten. Oh.
Believe me, Edith, with the resources at your disposal, you've made a very fine job of this. It's an authoritative text.
You're not just saying that.
Certainly not. So, exactly what are Satan's plans for the book?
Oh, he wants to publish it in the world of men. Intends to get it into every bookshop in the living world. He's planning a huge marketing drive. He says he can definitely have the book selected as Richard and Judy's Book of the Month because he's got stuff on both of them.
Well, I'm sure it won't need Richard and Judy's endorsement. It's a fascinating read.
Thank you, Bernard. They did a lovely job on your funeral, by the way.
Did they?
Yes, I was there. Lovely hymns. Oh, and they did a reading from your seminal tome on the life of Charlemagne.
I see. Charlemagne never existed, do you know that?
Yes, Satan told me. Bernard, I'm so sorry.
Over 4,000 pages.
Yes, I know. Bernard, can I ask you one last question about my biography of Satan? I promise you, it will definitely be the last.
Of course, my dear. What's your question?
It's rubbish, isn't it?
All I'm saying is that, all right, it's sad that Scamp is leaving us, but we should all be pleased for him.
I should be pleased for someone else.
Yes.
Someone who isn't me.
Yes.
It's a wind-up, isn't it?
Look, let me give you an example. Do you remember that time when all the pustules on my face exploded simultaneously? Yeah. Well, that was quite painful for me, but I was happy for everybody else because it gave you all a good laugh. Now, do you understand?
I think so. It's something to do with pustules.
No. Forget the exploding pustules.
That won't be easy.
Look, it's about taking pleasure in other people's pleasure.
Oh, you mean voyeurism. Oh, yeah. The old one-way mirror in the jar.
No. Not voyeurism. It's about empathizing. It's like, I just feel that if you could just learn to be happy for Scamp, then you won't feel so sad about his leaving. And that would cheer you up.
Listen, I do not need cheering up. This dog means nothing to me. And I won't miss him at all, not one bit.
Your top lip is trembling.
I'm cold, okay? It's freezing here by this lake of fire. Let's go back, all right?
All right, Thomas. All right.
It is rubbish, isn't it? I know it is. You're just being polite.
Edith, Edith, why do you demand such high standards of yourself?
It's the only way I know. My father used to say, if a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing perfectly. He said it at every mealtime. Well, till that day when Mother jumped out of the window.
I see. Well...
You've always reminded me of him. In your physical appearance and your posture, and there's something around the eyes.
Right. Well, look, Edith, if that's all, I think I probably ought to be heading back to the pit of historians.
What sort of things go on there?
It's pretty horrendous. The demons are particularly sadistic. As I left, poor Hugh Trevor Roper was being made to listen to the Hitler diaries.
The bogus ones he authenticated. Oh, that is very cruel.
Yes, and getting Hitler to read them out in a sarcastic voice is really cruel.
Didn't go back. I'm sure I could convince Satan that I needed a consultant to help me with the book.
You don't need any help with the book. You've done a magnificent job.
There must be some shortcomings in my book, Bernard. I mean...
There is really nothing to criticise.
What about the prose stuff?
It's very good, elegant, but dynamic.
Bernard, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, all right. I suppose if I was being ultra, ultra picky, I might suggest that maybe you don't need the word unfortunately at the start of the final paragraph in chapter 2.
I knew it. It's crap, isn't it? Total crap, the whole thing. That's what you're saying.
No, really. It's...
Rubbish, total rubbish. You don't have to spare my feelings deep down. I knew it all along.
It's just one adverb.
That is redundant and indulgent and just epitomizes the whole flabbily written crap fest.
I'm sure it's easily rectified.
Oh, it certainly is.
What are you doing?
It's called tearing, Bernard. I'm tearing this inadequate piffle into hundreds and hundreds of tiny pieces, totally destroying it. There! Are you happy now, Daddy? Sorry about that, Bernard.
You've just torn up Satan's biography.
Yes, he might be a bit miffed about that.
A bit miffed about what?
Satan. Hello.
Hello.
This is Bernard.
We've met. What are all these little bits of paper on the floor?
Satan, I can explain.
Yeah, if I had a penny for every time I've heard that.
You see, what happened was I had a sort of sudden attack of self-doubt and a bout of obsessive perfectionism, which I am a bit prone to, and it meant that I tore up your biography.
I see. So these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bits of paper are the book that I commanded you to write.
Yes.
I hope you're good at jigsaws, Edith.
My prince, you've returned. How did you get on with my list of prospective parents for baby Patrick? Did you find a mummy and daddy for him?
No. I found one couple who regard childhood as a disease, and another couple who seem to feel the same way about adulthood. So all in all...
What are all these tiny bits of paper on the floor?
Oh, Edith went insane and tore up my biography.
I don't know which half of that sentence is funnier. She tore up your precious book. Now, that has cheered me up. Why can I feel a lid on the top of my head? He's turned me into a toilet again, hasn't he?
Scumspawn, get on your knees, help Edith and Bernard pick up all the pieces and glue all the pages back together, OK?
As glue, sir, shall I use my oozing body slime?
You'd have made one hell of a Blue Peter presenter, Scumspawn. OK. I'm taking the dog to the angel Gabriel for his transportation to heaven, so say goodbyes and no soppy stuff.
Bye, Scamp. Going to miss you, little fella. Thomas.
Bye, Scamp. I'm not going to miss you one bit. I would pat you on the head, but toilets don't have arms.
Bye, Scamp. Going to be so quiet without you.
All right, that's enough. This is hell, not Little House on the Prairie. Come on, Scamp, you're off to heaven. Oh, and now listen, this is important. You know your very bad habit of urinating over people, yeah? Well, feel free to do that on the angel Gabriel. Oh, well, you like it up here, do you, Scamp? Yeah, this is the summit of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world. To some, it's the ultimate challenge. To the people of Nepal, it's the ultimate draft excluder. And this is where I usually rendezvous with old smug chops. The angel Gabriel. Oh, hello. This looks like him flying in.
Greetings, Satan.
What the... Get him off
down,
me.
Boy. Down, Scout. Spit those feathers out.
Can't you control him?
Well, that's you, that is. Flapping your huge wings like that. He probably thinks you're a very obese swan or something. I don't know. Don't worry about what he's doing to your leg. That's just him marking out his territory.
Oh, thank God.
This is Scamp. He's the dog who was wrongly dispatched to my domain and who you must now convey to heaven in accordance with the instructions of God Almighty himself.
What about the baby?
Baby?
Yes. I was given to understand that I was collecting the dog and the baby for transportation to heaven.
Ah, no. You see, we had a bit of a meeting down in hell about the said baby, and we decided that God had probably made a mistake on that one.
God made a mistake?
Well, it can happen, can't it, eh? San Andreas' fault. If only he'd opted for underpinning, I told him. Also, you know, he created a beautiful country like Austria and then filled it with Austrians. So, you know...
What are you proposing to do with this baby?
Well, there was a feeling that it was unfair for him not to have lived his life. So as soon as I found suitable parents, we're going to return him to the land of the living.
Only God can return mortals to the living world from yours. He's got that green button. Mm. And he's not going to push it because you say so.
No, but you are.
What? Why on earth would I do that?
Have you heard of something called Photoshop? You can create these really quite convincing pictures. For instance, here's one of you, Gabriel, in a state of undress with Richard Dawkins. Now, if the Almighty were to somehow see this photo...
Look, there is no way God would ever fall for such blatant lie.
Gabriel, every day, millions of Catholics step into little boxes and tell God they're sorry for doing stuff they have absolutely no intention of stopping doing.
I can't risk it.
But can you risk not doing it? I mean, if the Almighty sees that photo... Yeah, you and Dawkins. You look good in suspenders, though, don't you?
All right, I'll do it. But this is blackmail.
Yeah, it's a gift.
I don't think it's fair that I should be saddled with this. I mean, it's clearly an executive matter, and I'm just support staff. I mean, this is way outside my job spec, as laid out in my contract, and as such constitutes a clear breach of my employment rights.
Stop! Stop him! Leave him! Let go of the nice angel's throat!
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Annette Crosby as Edith, with Philip Pope, Michael Fenton-Stevens, and Felicity Montague. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
So, Satan is blackmailing the angel Gabriel. We'll find out what God has to say about that in the final episode of Old Harry's Game at the same time next week. In just a moment, Hermione Lee and Julian Barnes guide us through the life of Ford Madox Ford in France.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen!
Paul Merton delves into the history of the City Varieties Music Hall in Leeds.
This palace of entertainment has been the showcase for some of the greatest entertainers from the last century and a half.
Charlie Chaplin, Houdini and Buster Keaton were just a few of the many stars who trod the theatre's boards.
You know, it's the music hall, which is part of our heritage, our